Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Greetings, gentlemen, and welcome to yet another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter and Parler. Real Scott McKay on Instagram. You can find me on YouTube at Scott McKay. And on Facebook, I absolutely positively invite you once again to join our merry group of men who are trying to be the best men they can be and often succeeding at the Facebook group, which is called the Mountaintop Summit. You can also, as always, find all the information you can carry and more at our website, which is mountaintoppodcast.com. Today, I'm joined by a lady guest, which you guys typically like, and we haven't had enough of those lately, so it's good to get back in the saddle in that regard. And she and I have known each other for years. She's terrific, and she specializes in an area that we really don't touch upon much on this show, although there's no reason for that, and we should do so more often. So today is an excellent, excellent way to stoke up the fires of that topic that haven't been stoked enough lately. That topic is marriage. And Amy Schoen is my guest. Amy, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you contacted me after I was looking for lady guests. And of course, you're a shoo-in. No pun intended. Uh-huh. Your name is, you know, Schoen. It looks like a shoe with an N on the end. And you came to me with a topic about being motivated to marry. And the thing is, you know, nowadays on this show, we got all kinds of guys. We got guys who are young and aren't even thinking about marriage yet. We got guys who are already married, some for many, many years, actually, because the demo of this show is, frankly, everybody from 18 to 85 and perhaps even older. If you're older than that out there, give me a shout. I'd love to know you're there, by the way. So what we did was we arrived at this concept of marriage material, which I think is just rife with potential. Not only because, hey, you know, are we marriage material as men, but what about these women we've been dating lately, Amy? I mean, maybe they're not marriage material either.
Or they're not always.
No, it's not like women are always princesses with a halo and men are always, you know, representatives of the ever popular toxic masculinity. You know, people are people. Some of them are, you know, ready to be one half of a great relationship and some people not so much, huh?
Right. So sometimes it's really about a readiness. I think you hit it. And somebody wanting it and having that kind of as a goal for themselves. Not so much that, oh, I have to get married, but more of like, if I met the right person, you know, I would like to be married.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know what the right person even means. I talk to a lot of guys, Amy, who, for example, are writing online dating profiles, and they're just casting this wide net to anyone who can fog a mirror and happens to be female. And with so many people online and so many vapid profiles and people really just not giving each other anything to go on, really everybody looks and seems alike, especially in an era where you can filter the living crap out of your pictures and make yourself look like anybody you'd like to look like. So nowadays, and it's kind of a new thing for me vis-a-vis how many people are online and on apps and stuff, I'm counseling guys to be absolutely ruthless in who they're looking for and to call that kind of woman out and tell her the kind of traits she has and the kind of man he is and how they match up. And frankly, Amy, most guys, the majority of them, they got nothing. They can't do it. They can't tell me the kind of woman they'd really like to end up with. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I get the same thing, and that people think they know, and it's really about as a life coach and everything, helping people really get clear about who's the right partner for them. And I find it goes into both goals and values. So the goal is, if you are marriage minded, I recommend that you put it out there because you want to attract somebody who's in the same space that you are. And also people who share the vision of the life that you do. So there are a lot of potential people who are good partners. However, there's that one special lady who really sees life the way you do. And I remember I was working with this gentleman. He was widowed. He was in his late 50s. And he was a little bit more introverted, a quiet guy. And, you know, he had a hard time. And finally, we found his sweet spot, and he didn't give up. And I think I coached with him for 2 years, and he finally met, like, the perfect woman. And it's kind of like a feedback loop, and it's, you know, refining the process. I'm not saying everybody takes 2 years. I have guys who've met people within 3 months to 6 months, and they're very happy as well. So I would say 80% of my successfully coupled clients have met through online dating. I don't use it entirely, but it is one of the best ways I know to attract people today, especially how busy we are. And it depends on what else is going on in your life. If you're busy with work, with family, you know, people, you may have parents who are aging, you know, you may be working on your career. It's just so many reasons why people, and online is great. I've even heard young men, you know, I went to this guy, I was in a mom and me group, and I was married at 40, it was my second marriage at 42, and I had my son in my 40s, and then I was with all these young people in the mommy and me group, and I went up to this guy, and I said, well, I found out he met his wife online, and he was very good looking, had a good job. I mean, I said, well, why did you go online to meet your wife? And he said, I knew what I was looking for, and I didn't want to waste my time.
So how should we help men get clear on who they're looking for? Because obviously that's the crux of what you just talked about. And, you know, I suppose as a minor aside, I should call out the fact that probably the first obvious, hopefully obvious way to know if you're marriage material is you actually want to get married. You mentioned that, and I want to tip my hat to that very simple and perhaps sometimes overlooked point. But yeah, back to the question I just asked, how do you help these guys get clear on who it is they're looking for?
Well, again, I use my life coaching skills. However, we do something called the ideal life exercise and really kind of honing in on what do you see for your life and what's important. And then looking at those values that really matter most to you in a relationship. So you have your personal values and you have your relationship values. So there's a process I take my clients through. But we determine what are those aligned relationship values. And we learn to, and then I teach you how to infuse it, or I help my clients infuse it in their profiles. So you're attracting the right person. However, most guys want to choose a woman. So I kind of teach you how to look at a profile and look for those key values. But most people don't even know they have these values. You know, the basic values, but, you know, family values and being part of community. But then there are these deeper values. And so really kind of honing in on what's really important and helping guys to see that. So they're willing to reach out and contact a woman. And then you have to see whether or not they are responsive, that they're really actively looking for a serious relationship. So I do recommend that men put in their profile, I'm looking to meet a woman who wants to get married. And I also think it's important to look for a female, if that's your goal, who it does kind of indicate something to the same. Because then you know you're not wasting your time. Because today marriage is a choice. It's not like when my parents, you know, my mother knew everybody got married in their 20s. That was a thing you did. Once you finished college, you got married. I came out of grad school in the 80s, so we also looked to get married. But today there are so many different choices. And if you're on the younger side, that's not even, you know, necessary. Or if you're a boomer like I am, again, you've been married. You don't know if you really want to be married again. And I worked with a widower. He was around 70 and he knew he wanted to be married again. And so all his friends were married and he just knew. So he didn't get married right away. Actually, he met his wife online. They lived together for about a year or so, and then they got married. It was about 2 years that they knew each other. They got married.
Yeah, it kind of is an invalid stereotype, especially nowadays, that quote unquote, all women want to lock down the next guy they meet and get married, and that every woman 30 years old or above has the proverbial biological clock ticking and she's going to try to rush things with us. I think a lot of guys fear that, and they probably shouldn't, at least not in an automatic and knee-jerk fashion, fear it.
Well, there is good news. The good news is there's technology, and a lot of the women are now giving themselves the benefit of time, and they are doing the egg retrievals and freezing their eggs. And so I have 40-year-old women who come to me and they say, well, I have frozen eggs. So, you know, if I want to meet the right guy, I want to have a family before I get too old, but I don't have to feel pressured about it.
Well, that brings up another good question. What's the delta between desperation not to die alone and make a baby versus being ready for marriage?
Well, I think it's a choice. You know, I have women come to me and they say, well, I'm thinking of having a baby on my own. And yet I want to date. And I know it's a hard place because I know my male clients, I mean, they want to know, from what I understand, that you want to be with them. And that you want to make a life with them. And if you have a child, I mean, it's a goal. And there are different ways to have a family today. You can adopt and you can, you know, do, there are so many ways to get pregnant if you want to or have a child. And then some, I have friends who decided not to have children. So they just decided that that wasn't what they wanted in their life. So again, it's a choice. So you really want somebody who's on the same path you are, who wants the same things you do. If you want a family, then you have to find a woman who wants that. And that's important to her. And if you don't, then again, you have to find someone who, you know, is in the same place. And I think you're having those conversations sooner than later. I remember when I was dating and I was 40 and I still was single with no man in my life. And I was motivated to marry and I still thought, you know, I wanted a family. And I met this wonderful guy and we hit it off and he had his family already. And I waited a while before having the conversation about my goal to have a child. And he said, baby, you want baby? I'm done. By the way, I've already, you know, I'm fixed. I can't do it. And so I had to make a really tough choice. And it was hard. And I did actually walk away from that relationship. And, you know, that was my choice, right? I mean, I know he was kind of a little bit hurt by it. But then I fortunately met my husband and he was in the same place and he was open to having a family. So I do find that you go through this process, you kind of refine it and you get closer and closer to that ideal person.
Yeah, you know, lots of thoughts come up based on what you were just discussing, Amy. The first is I sometimes get guys come to me who are in their 50s and, like the gentleman you were just talking about, have already been there and done that with the whole parenthood thing. I mean, they probably have grandbabies by now. And yet they want to find some woman 25, 28 years old and marry her because she's so hot, you know. And I say, okay, what happens when she wants to have kids? And I get like a blank stare, like, whoa, you didn't think of that, did you? And they're like, well, I mean, you know, I'll talk her out of it. Good luck with that. And, you know, I think that kind of brings up an excellent place to kick off the specific conversation about being marriage material. And this may or may not be what you expect me to say, but I'm going to throw the proverbial wrench in the machine anyway, Amy, and here goes. The first way we can tell someone is not marriage material is they're selfish. I mean, they're blatantly disregarding the needs, wants, dreams, or even the livelihood of this person they're allegedly trying to get into their life. They want to be married so they can fulfill all their selfish needs. This person's going to do this for them. They're going to represent this to them. And when they're confronted, which is the word I'm choosing carefully, with this idea of, yeah, well, what are you going to bring to the table for them? They haven't even bothered to think about it. And it seems to me that level of self-work, really digging in and saying, all right, is this a we thing or is this a me thing? Because if it's all about you without any regard for another person you're going to be supposedly sharing your life with, for God's sake, stay single until that mindset changes. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I have a list of the 10 ways you determine that you're marriage-minded material. And you think of others first and how your actions impact them. Mm-hmm. So that's being unselfish. And I do have qualities of a motivated to marry person. And one of them is you think of as a we and not a me. You have to think of the greater good of the relationship and what's best for the relationship, and not just, now people do need to get their needs met. So that's the caveat. I mean, you look for the compromise, the win-win solutions whenever possible. And sometimes that's not, you know, you have to find a way to give each other what you want. Like, there's an example. For instance, I had a guy client, and he was in New York, and he went online and he found a woman in Boston. And he was very open about, well, first of all, he was a doctor. He had a very good position, and he envisioned that this woman would come to New York.
I can see this one coming.
Okay. And she was a yes, 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 yes. And he was very clear about his goals and needs and wants. And then I was invited to the wedding. There was an invitations, you know, a month out. I hear we're not getting married. I'm like, what happened? And it's like, well, she didn't want to leave her family in Boston. And by the way, she wants to start a business. Like, where was that coming from? You know, the problem is sometimes people are not honest with themselves, and they're not honest and not really honest with others. And the other thing is, I think that he was motivated to marry. He was pushing 40. And I think that, you know, his agenda was being, you know, they could have taken a little bit more time.
Yeah, it seems like that's a second date conversation.
It can be. But, you know, sometimes people say, yes, 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 yes. I mean, I married, my first husband was a yes, yes guy.
Yeah, because they're afraid to lose. They're afraid to lose this person in front of them, right?
So it's, you know, you have to trust that somebody knows themselves and they know what they want. And so there is a timing and there's a pacing. And so those couples that like, oh, we're in love and let's get married, and it's like right away, I'm not a proponent of that either. I think you have to spend if you can afford a good year before you get engaged, I think that's a good time frame. Now, my husband and I, we were engaged within 6 months and married within the year. But we were in our 40s. We both did a lot of work on ourselves. And, you know, it's been 18 years we've been married. So
I think a lot of that also has to do with the actual sum total of time you're spending with each other prior to engagement and marriage. I mean, Emily and I pretty much spent all our waking hours together from the moment we met. We just couldn't get enough of each other. So, I mean, 9 months later, we knew each other intimately in every way.
Right.
We were darn skippy sure.
Long distance relationship. So right now I have a Washington, D.C. Australian relationship, and they met during COVID. And they spent a lot of time together, yet they have not met each other physically, and they are talking marriage.
Well, I would argue they have never met each other. I mean, until you know what this person smells like when they're sitting in your presence, you don't know Jack Diddley yet. They're kidding themselves.
I don't think so. I think they're very well suited for each other. And I think they're trying to figure out the best way that they can meet. Yeah. I mean, I hope it works out for them, because they really are very much aligned. But this is so unusual. That's very, very unusual.
Well, so. I got to tell you, I'm on record as telling people to run away from very long distance relationships where they get emotionally invested like the plague, because so much can happen when you're actually in someone's physical real presence. I don't care how much video you've done with them. Also, they have to spend some time living life together rather than
and meeting each other's family and doing things
above.
Together. And
hell
yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So you don't know if you can travel well together and things like that. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, getting back to the main groove here is that if you're spending a lot of time with each other prior to getting engaged and married, that's a lot different than being in a long distance relationship and only seeing each other like once a month for 2 days.
Right. Distance is very difficult. Actually, my first marriage, we were long distance for a long time.
Torture.
And I think we missed a lot. And then when you get together, you don't want to have a bad time. So you don't talk about the tough stuff. So it can work, but it's much harder to have it work. And then somebody has to move to where the other person is within, I think, 6 months to a year.
Well, yeah, COVID notwithstanding, it's absolutely much better to meet people as close to you as you can. And I have a rather controversial thought on this that I've pissed people off with. And that's this. Listen, if you're in New York or Los Angeles or Boston for that matter, and you need to go find someone in another metro area, even in another time zone, in order to find someone you can connect with, you should stop looking in that other time zone and look in the freaking mirror. Because if you're in New York and you can't find someone who you can connect with there, I really honestly think you're kidding yourself. I think there's some work that needs to be done. That's my take. And I've yet to be proven wrong, but I'll take your input on it if you disagree.
I can understand that, and I think it's easier to date in your backyard. However, I know so many couples that did meet, and they were like Washington, New York, Massachusetts, Washington. I have a girlfriend who met her husband at a wedding, and he was in Alabama, and she's in D.C. So I do know successful relationships where they met. And sometimes people also meet like at these events, like weekends when they had them. And so they were singles weekends. And so I know couples that met that were not in the same city. It is harder, and I agree, but sometimes people feel like I need to meet someone from somewhere else for one reason or another.
Maybe they want to move somewhere else. Well, I would say maybe just they move.
Yeah, or maybe like I have conservative clients in D.C. who are feel like I do better in Nashville, Tennessee than I would do, you know, where I'm living.
And I think so, that's fair.
Yeah, so to be where there are more like-minded people, you know, and people more like yourself. So, and he's also thinking, you know, and when I retire, I'd rather be, you know, at this place anyway. So there are reasons why. And then my older clients, yeah, they are thinking. I had a client who just moved down to North Carolina. So, you know, I mean, he's just starting to look around because as a life coach, I helped him first retire from his government job. And now he's, you know, looking to meet somebody.
Yeah, well, natural serendipity at weddings and events, whatever. Yeah, I understand that's going to happen. That's the price to play. But, you know, when someone's online and they're actively searching nationwide because they can't meet anybody locally and they're not succeeding, I think that's where the problem is. But anyway, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of long distance dating because that's not.
No. Most of my clients do meet within. I think it's fun when they say the person lives 15 minutes away from me. And I didn't know that person existed. So this person was my backyard. So I think it's great when that happens.
Yeah, most definitely. Getting back to what you were talking about, I do want to acknowledge what you said about there being a balance. Yeah, we do have things we want from our marriage, and it's okay to want that. And I will go ahead on record and state that if someone is an approval seeker, a people pleaser, to the point where they can be easily manipulated and walked all over by someone who's manipulative, they're not ready to be one half of a great relationship either. They're not marriage material yet because they're going to get into an abusive relationship where they're the one that's abused. So absolutely, I could shout this from the rooftops. You have to be clear on who you are, what your lifestyle is about. And just like you said so eloquently, Amy, go find someone who matches up with you because people will go searching for someone and they've been desperate for a while. Maybe they're on a dry spell and whoever falls into their lap and will quote unquote put up with them, the next thing you know, they're getting married to each other. They don't even know each other. They have no idea what goes on in the other person's brain. And they've been too freaking scared to vet that person's character. And then they wake up 6 months later. And what do you know? This person is not as high quality a human being with the kind of character they thought this person had. And some other different person jumps out from behind a bush and quote unquote surprises them. And I would argue that they shouldn't have been surprised. We got to be a little braver and more direct and, dare I say, mature about choosing the kind of person we want in our life. And, you know, yeah, we have to have that foundation settled in terms of who are we? What is our identity? And we talk at length about that around here. And that has got to illuminate who it is we ask in our life. And I'll give you something to riff on here. I can't tell you how many guys I've coached who come to me at the beginning, sometimes it's their very reason for contacting me saying, hey, I got this woman in my life and she's perfect in every way except one. But boy, is that one a doozy when they drop it on the table. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I call that the almost not quite relationship.
Right. It's on almost definitely not relationship sometimes. It's a real deal breaker.
Well, there's a lot of good and there's something intrinsically missing. And those are the hardest relationships to leave, actually, because you see that there is a lot of good. And you wonder if you're ever going to, and then you say, well, I do have to make some compromises. And am I asking too much that I want everything? Like we are taught, especially as women, we're taught to think, oh, you can't have it all. And my clients get to pretty close to having it all, both my men and female clients. They have it all because we look at what's really important. We look to make sure that those people really have those values that you really want and really have those same kind of lifestyle, you know, vision and expectations and goals and all those kind of things. So I think, you know, to determine whether you're marriage material, I think it's knowing how to treat people with respect, honoring people's requests, showing appreciation. Like expressing appreciation, not taking things for granted, you know, things like that. Being a good listener, I'm sure, Scott, you train your guys well to listen to the women and acknowledge and to really understand where they're coming from. I mean, it is, you know, we do have different perspectives and we do have to understand each other. And when we show our partners that we understand their come from place, and that we acknowledge their point of view. We may not agree, but we acknowledge. Then it's easier to come to some kind of conclusion, like compromise.
Well, that word compromise is very interesting and kind of fraught when it comes to picking someone who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And I'll tell you what I mean. And I'll tell you the thought that comes to mind. I have people who come to me and they see this person who they allegedly want to be married to someday as a project. Well, you know, they're an atheist and I go to a conservative evangelical church, but you know, I'm sure that I'll be able to proselytize this person into my way of thinking. They don't say it that way, of course, but that's exactly what they're going to try to do. And that may never happen. You know, or this person, they have a real addiction problem, but you know, they're just going through a moment and I'm sure they'll get over it. And I'm sure I'll be able to change them. Or this person has this hobby that I really can't stand. But once I marry this guy, you know, I'll get him to sell all his motorcycles because he'll love me and want to be only with me. And I think that's unreasonable because first of all, it's selfish of you. You're trying to mold this person into your way of thinking. And sometimes women in particular will say, okay, this guy's told me he doesn't want to get married ever. You know what? After he knows me for 8 months, I'm sure he'll change his mind. And 8 months later, they're furious at him for being such a jerk, you know. But I really honestly think two people who are on the same page have got to find each other in that state where they're agreeing on life purpose, religion, you know, their goals in life, they get each other, right? They have these traits, many of which you've already mentioned, which I would call connectable traits. In other words, these are the things that when you get really down to brass tacks are the things most people really want out of another person in general. I mean, no one's ever said, I want a mean-spirited, selfish person ever. We want someone who's kind and generous and optimistic is another one. As soon as we start assuming the worst out of each other, we're doomed as a couple. And so people, when they understand each other, they have the same goals in life, then they get together and go change the world together. But the person you're dating in hopes of marrying them can never be your charity cause. You meet someone who's like you, who's on your page, and then you go do charity causes together. You know what I mean?
Yes. And so when I was talking about compromise, I was talking about you don't compromise those things that are really important to you.
Right.
And those kind of things. And you can't ask someone to change who they are and what they enjoy. So I'm not asking that. But my husband sold his condo and he was living in Virginia and moved into my townhouse in Maryland. And that was the compromise. So somebody has to move. Somebody has to change their life a little bit. I've seen situations where with my cousins, you know, she moved because of the job. She moved to Washington from New York you know, because there was a job situation for her husband. She compromised her job situation. They were already married. They already had a family. There are, you know, we have to adjust based on circumstances. So that's the compromise I was talking about. I wasn't talking about the things that really matter most to us, whether it's religion or, you know, I did have a guy who had a hobby that drove the other woman crazy. But you know what? She ended up understanding his come from place, and I helped him, you know, to hold his ground. And it's like, what's the big deal? Let him play with his books. Let him, index them the way he wanted to. That was his little thing. You know, it's not a big deal. So they worked out a solution that worked for both of them. So yes, you don't want to compromise. You don't want to change who you are. I think that's what you're saying. And I think we're saying the same thing, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just making that point.
Right. We don't want to change who we are and what's really important to us because we'll be unhappy. I've seen it. I've seen the person who gives up having a kid who really wanted a child. So, yes, we have to be careful that we don't expect people to change who they are.
Yeah, you know. That brings up this whole idea of being set in one's ways, especially as we're a little bit older. And, you know, that's the butt of so many jokes, right? And kind of to close this show out, based on what you just told me, I don't think it's uncommon at all for people to say to themselves, oh man, you know, if I marry this person, my life is going to be rocked and I'm going to have to get rid of my motorcycles and this person doesn't eat meat and I'm a meatitarian. And they're scared of that. But as they grow to love this other person, and they stop being so selfish, they start acting in unconditional concern for this person who they've learned to stop fearing and start loving, they decide of their own volition, I'm not going to do this anymore because I know it bugs the hell out of this woman I love or this man I love. And so a lot of times people are set in their ways out of pure habit. And the next thing you know, what they used to fear having to give up, they're volunteering to give up because, hey, you know what? I love this person and we're together. We're a we now. And I think there's something kind of transcendental or almost magic about that. But you know, it's something that, you know, I and the guys on this show probably shouldn't fear so much. But those fears are real at the beginning, aren't they?
Yes. And we have to face our fears, but also you have to look at what you're gaining. What do you really want? And do you want that person in your life to support you and be there and to go through life together and hopefully grow old with and to see, you know, either have a family if you haven't had one or at least be there for each other's family if you're in later stages of your life?
Yeah, and all of that starts amounting to a whole lot more significance than any pearls you may have been clutching before you got married, you know? It's not something to fear, and I really appreciate your input on that. Her name is Amy Schoen, and her book is Are You Motivated to Marry? And I've set up a special URL where you can go grab it from her website, and that is mountaintoppodcast.com/Mary, M-A-R-R-Y. It's a great book, and even if you're not yet exactly motivated to marry, but maybe someday, it might be a good book to put in your library for safekeeping. So go ahead and grab a copy at mountaintoppodcast.com/Mary. And Amy Schoen, thank you so much for coming onto our show and adding such wisdom and insight to this conversation that's so important to have.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I would appreciate it if you head over to mountaintoppodcast.com, visit our sponsors, Origin Maine, Keyport, and Hero Soap, see what they got going on that's new. And with all three of those sponsors, you can use the coupon code MOUNTAIN10 to get 10% off any of your order. Also, guys, what you see is what you get. Who you hear is who you get is probably an even better way to put it. When you call me for free for 25 minutes, we can talk about where you are right now, where you want to be, and get you on a path to getting the results you want. Hey, COVID or no COVID, guys' lives are being changed, and it is my honor to help you guys. Navy SEALs, entrepreneurs, famous guys, people who are in politics, people who are high-level educators at university. Those are the kinds of guys who come to me, and also normal guys with other kinds of careers come to me, but what they have in common is they're good men of character who want the right woman in their life. Click on the red button in the upper right-hand corner and talk to me for free when you visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com. And until I talk to you guys again next time, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X&Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.